Caroline's pointing to me with a pen.
It's my pointy sticky thing.
Oh, are you cueing me in?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry. Try again. This is the Bugcast episode 127.
Thank you. person next to you just found a pot of gold. Keep your head on straight and never sell your soul. Have some patience, you will win control. Learning how to let go. Stab our backs just for living, breathing, being around. We'd be better tomorrow if tomorrow it weren't so far away. Happiness can't be borrowed. Looks like we're stuck and right here, right here today.
That, my dear, was a kicker.
Wasn't it just? So many different influences in there. I'm not going to say anything because you might be carrying them off in your notes in a minute. Yes. Welcome along to the podcast episode 127. It is Friday the 17th of September and it's just gone 9:30 in the evening. Thank you wherever you are and however you're listening for listening. Thanks as always to the guys for the Dumbed Down Life for the use of their Shoutcast server, allowing those people that are currently sitting there having a good natter in the chat room to listen to us live.
Yes, well, there's me and thee.
Aye.
Or is that thee and me?
Me and thee, thee and me.
Doesn't us. Really matter, does it? It does us two anyway.
Us, yes.
Amethyst, Chris, Andreas, Darren, Davey Speedstar, James Corvettier.
He hasn't said anything yet, actually, Davey.
Jorvik, Nick, new mummy Nick, woohoo! There by Connor, so we can add an extra person to our.
And Benny, apparently. Benny's listening
and Benny,
as well.
Yeah, Benny, yes, okay. Phil from work, Popey, and Yenny.
I'm going to give James Corrigier another mention because I think I spoke over you when you said his name. So sorry about that.
So you should be.
Fantastic. Thank you very much indeed, one and all, for coming along and listening to us as we cobble our way through this thing that we call the Bugcast. Can you please tell us about that stonker of a song?
Yeah. Well, from Doylestown, Pennsylvania, source from Area Publicity, that was Roush, I'm hoping I'm saying this right, with It Happens. On MySpace in the Sound Like section, Doug Roush gives two answers. His first is the predictable answer, where he says he sounds like acts such as Queen and Pink Floyd, amongst others. His other answer is, and this is his words, not mine, from a narcissistic, at the risk of sounding egotistical point of view, sounds like 300 years of music history converging into a single artist with the intent to finally recapture forward momentum of music while driving a stake through the heart of what is not. And I have to say, personally, whilst I was nodding my head at some of his sounds likes of Queen and Pink Floyd, I prefer his second answer. The fact that he's trying to bridge lots of different areas.
Yeah, definitely.
Sort of put music back to what it should be rather than the over-stylized twaddle that's in the mainstream. And that's my wordy bit.
Yes.
That I've misspelt and made it look like some really random Welsh swear word in my writing.
There's probably a town on the west coast of Wales and Twaddle.
Twaddle? Yep. If you'd like to find out more, you can check out myspace.com/RauschOfficial, which is spelled R-A-U-S-C-H official, or you could go to www.dougrausch.com.
Fantastic. Now, as the track was ending, I had this thing in my mind that reminded me of a lot of other songs. And Queen, yes, Pink Floyd, Wings have all done it where you have a song that's in different phrases, but each different phrase of the song is in a totally different style. Think of like Band on the Run by Wings. It starts off with a nice little guitar-y bit. Oh, no, it doesn't. Okay, bad example. Think of Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah, one of the most classic rock songs ever. But it's broken down into about six or seven completely different styles, and there's a name for that. And I cannot remember what it is. So if anybody can remember, please tell me.
At feedback.
At feedback at thebugcast.org, or anybody in the chat room who might know it. We have a few musos in the chat room, so hopefully somebody there will know. Right, well, how is everybody? We're both well. I'm back at work now, which is... I have to say, I have enjoyed being back at work.
Okay.
It's not that I don't like being at home.
You get used to your routine, though, don't you?
Yeah, and it being at home, my mind is not as occupied as it needs to be.
Yes.
To do stuff.
Well,
so
you
being
think
back
about
at work,
it. The holiday, we had so many plans that none of it got done.
I disagree. Quite a bit of our plans got done.
The bit that we wanted to do, getting a certain website up to date and being
I did
able
some
to...
stuff on it, didn't you? James Correa said, did I mean eclectic? No, I didn't.
No.
I don't know whether the word progressive is correct. I don't know. But it looks as though we've caught a number of people off guard with this.
Who are now going to drive themselves
Andreas
mad.
Is now going to try and find out what it is. Chris is now going to try and find what it is. And it's going to bug her until she figures it out. Sorry, bug her until she figures it out. sorry. I think I got away with that one. Yes, so... Hey-ho.
We're doing another song?
Nope.
No? Oh,
you,
no, sorry. Sorry.
You didn't. I wrote you notes and you haven't even read them.
I was sort of doing a doodle that went wrong because the head ended up far higher than the body, so she's
yes,
got a really long neck.
A doodle across the note that I wrote for you.
You typed. Not me. Right, well, sorry. My little note is telling me to update on the kids in school. No, our kids being in school, not. Anyway, Amy is on her second week of full-time school. Every day she's been fine. And Cara had her first week of nursery. So on Monday we both went. And we didn't know what to expect. We thought she could be clingy. What we didn't expect for us to go... Bye. She just went in straight to some toys. We were trying to call to say to Ra, but she just... wasn't interested.
No, she did. She turned around, she looked at us, she waved, went bye-bye, and then turned around and carried on with what she was
yes.
doing.
So, yeah, no problems dropping her off.
Which one was well happy about.
Yes.
But you weren't.
No, I wasn't too bad.
You were quite upset by the dismissive nature of her departure.
I expected her to say, Mummy, don't go, but I'm glad, actually, that she settled so well, because there were a couple of little boys there who most definitely hadn't settled as well, because they were crying, and they'd been crying for the rest of the week. When we went to pick her up, we had a little discussion about what we might find. So we thought she'd be fine and then come with us. She'd had been teary but then calmed down, or she was crying and couldn't wait to get out there. And then partway down the road I said, or she won't want to come back home. And that was the one she chose because she was pulling faces. She was the last one out. She made the teacher finish off the story that she was reading despite the fact that Cara was the only one left.
I think she knew exactly what she was doing.
And then we said about whether she'd tell us what she'd been doing that day. And we said that she'd either tell us loads of information because she's more chatty than Amy and more open than that, or she'd not remember the whole details, or she'd be her own annoying self, pick up on what annoys us about Amy and use that. And that's exactly what she did.
Well, there was two ways she could have gone with that. She would have said, oh, lots of stuff. But she didn't. She said nothing.
No. Stuff.
Oh, stuff. Sorry. It was Amy that said nothing.
But yet they have settled into a routine. This morning was aggravating. It's about a 5-minute walk to the school. If I was doing it on my own, I could probably do it in less. I could probably do it in 3 minutes. But with a kid, I always allow 5 minutes. It took ages. And would you like to know why? Because both girls had an imaginary bottle of bubble mixture. And they were blowing imaginary bubbles. And because they were busy blowing imaginary bubbles, it was slowing them down. To watch the imaginary bubbles and to call me every 2 minutes and ask me to look at the imaginary bubbles, which I did, and then commented on them, and then got told that I was looking at the wrong imaginary bubble. Not that one, that one.
Yes, the power of a child's imagination.
So in the end, I had to confiscate their imaginary bubbles and put them in their pockets until they got to school in order to get them to walk properly.
Sounds about right.
Yay.
Well, this week, last Monday just gone, was my... No, it wasn't. It was the week before, wasn't it?
Yes. You were 6th of September, darling. This Monday was the 13th.
I'll tell you why I got confused, because I had some additional presents given to me.
He got a delayed present.
A delayed present, that's what it was. I think I told you all about it, but I'm not going to mention my birthday again, because I'm not one of those narcissistic people that likes to go on about my birthday. I mean, it's only a birthday. I mean, what's another birthday? It's just a birthday.
Yes, dear.
Did I mention it was my birthday?
Yes, dear.
Right, I believe you're going to tell us about a website.
I thought you were going to tell people what you got, though, after all that.
What, the delayed present?
Yes.
Oh, yes, I got the, I can't remember what it's called now.
It's a tarantula tea light holder.
I wasn't on about that.
No?
No. Yes, got a tarantula tea light holder that was bought from the Yorkshire Sculpture Park. And it was part of an art concept called Art Me?
Something like that.
Something like that. Where local artists are commissioned to... carry out some creation of art, and then various places around the UK, like museums, art galleries, places like the Yorkshire Sculpture Park, then pass that material on to other similar organisations, so that the art can be shared amongst around the whole of the UK. And it's a very, very clever design, and it is literally a candle holder that's suspended. And then little legs that come out, all in a circle, to hold it above the surface.
Yes.
Very nice indeed. And I got a double CD. Is it Late Night Tunes, I think it's called, which is a compilation that was put together by Norman Cook, Fatboy Slim, of tracks that he felt influenced him and, you know, defined music for him. And there's some absolutely classic stuff in there. I've not listened to it yet, but I hopefully will be doing so this weekend.
Yes. So the website that I was going to tell you about is I found out about today. I'm on LiveJournal, which is like an online journal service, or it's sort of blogging, but different. It's more community-based. And one of my friends on there mentioned a website called kiva.org, which is kiva.org. And she said that her $25 had been reinvested. So obviously I was nosing, a look at this website. And basically what it's doing is it is matching people. It's giving people an ability to donate to entrepreneurs in countries where they're in poverty.
Mm.
So you can search through the profiles and... You can do a minimum of $25 up to whatever they need. So if you were rich, you could do the whole amount or your $25. And then that entrepreneur, as they move back, they then try and they repay it. So it could take 6 months, it could take 6 years, whichever way, you should get what you put in back. And then you can either take it back altogether or reinvest it to another entrepreneur. So what my friend has done has is the Filipino lady that she'd helped has paid her back via the site, and she's now reinvested it into somebody else. I think the person she'd originally invested did a pig farm or something. And I just think it's a blinding idea. It's sort of the pay it forward idea. The helping.
Yeah.
And I think it's a nice idea that it's giving those people a chance from the kindness of one or many others. Now, obviously, you've got the risks involved that the person that you've invested in don't pay you back, or that the country of the person that you're invested in has something go wrong and that, you know, the economic climate. But as long as you're putting something in that you feel comfortable with.
It sounds very similar in concept to the sellaband.com
yes.
website. Because I put some money in to help Matthew Ebel fund one of his albums. In the end, he pulled out of Sellaband and decided to do it elsewhere, which meant that I had a certain amount of money sat on this website doing nothing. Now, what I could have done was taken that money out of Matthew Ebel and reinvested it somewhere else. Now, it's not quite the same, because had he taken that project to fruition, that £100 would have gone in, and I don't think I would have got it back. I might have got... I think if I'd paid a bit more, I would have got royalties back off the album.
You think, essentially, you're helping people in a country where they haven't got the luxury of being able to go to a bank just to ask for a bank loan. They're doing it in a different way.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very similar to the organisations such as, what's it called? Is it Save a Child, the Christian one that your mum and Paul...
World Vision.
World Vision. They sponsored that young girl and they've seen her grow up and go do different things.
Yeah.
It's similar to that, which is actually quite fitting to do with the next track. And I'll explain more. And I'm going to introduce the next track and I can explain why.
Go for it, yeah, absolutely.
From Florence, Massachusetts, social media publicity, is Jamie Kent and The Options with Isabella. He's a 23-year-old musician, passionate environmentalist and curious mischief maker. His debut album, Neoteny, spelt N-E-O-T-E-N-Y, is a true reflection of his personality, songwriting and aspirations. And he hopes that the album takes a listener on an adventure through the depths of his mind. And the reason it's quite fitting is because he does something called The Collective, where he lets people purchase a partnership in return for free music, shows and merchandise. I'm not going to go into it, but basically he's got different levels. You can pay a set fee and it's sort of like the 4 for 4 project. You pay a set fee, you get a physical CD. You pay more, you get something extra. And he's got different bands. So it's very similar.
I've seen another few artists that do the same kind of concept.
Yeah. And then he's got like specialist ones that, you know, if you put a really large amount in, he would come to your house and give you a personal. So that sort of thing. So I thought that was quite a nice link in there.
Very nicely done. That. Well done.
So if you'd like to find out more about him or his collective idea, check out jamiekent.com.
Isabella, where are you going? I came to ask. Without knowing where you have been and where you begin. I'm going out or to the store. Would you like some coffee or a bagel? If I were to guess, you'd be on everything. I'd even ask your friend. I'd even ask your friends if they like cream. Oh, sugar. Isabella, or is it easy? I am partial to abbreviation, but I would never assume such a thing. Hey, later on, if you're not busy, maybe
be weaker. Grab a drink. Do you like beer or mixed drinks? Or maybe both? Cause if you like beer, I know this great dive. $2 drafts are all that special, and they've got darts if you play. I'd even let you in. I'd even let you in if you hadn't played much. Isabella.
You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
Daytime viewing, shadowed by a constant fall. Day stone to dusk now, undefined. A blast of power butchers one more soul, deepens the tears that scar my eyes. A tragedy, blood runs deep into the ground. A comedy of politics and circus clowns. Where are we today? Do you feel this pain? Do you feel sorry? I'm still scared.
York City and source from Area Publicity. That was Lily Sparks with Where Are We Today, which was submitted as part of Cyber PR's September 11th tribute. Described as, if Hart and Joan Jett had a baby and sent it to boarding school with Florence and the Machine, you'd get a hard rocking band with killer vocals called Lily Sparks. That quite tickled me, that little description.
I got the Joan Jett bit, and I certainly got the Hart bit. I don't get the Florence and the Machine bit.
Not in that track. But remember, that's one track of many.
Hmm.
So we need to listen more of them. I have to say, I think they did mention it on their site, but it's also something I thought of. Doesn't it make a change to have a band with a strong female strong female lead that is a true rocking? Because you get so many female leads. You get some female leads that the music is rocking, but the vocal isn't.
But they're not. They're either too weak or they're too strong.
Yes, and I think that was a perfect
It's quite
blend.
Funny, actually, because I called down to one of our other offices earlier on today, and they put me on hold. And Kelly Clarkson was on the hold music. And I was listening to it for about 30 seconds. And the one thing that went through my head was, stop shouting. They think the power in the voice is how loud you sing.
No.
But it isn't. There's a lot of female singers that rely on volume rather than power.
Yes, and I think she's got the power, but it matches the music.
Yeah.
And I think, I can't think of a specific example, but there are so many times where you've either got absolutely kicking music, but the lead doesn't quite match.
Mm.
Or you've got someone with a really powerful voice, but the music is too weak.
The music not to back it up.
You haven't got the oomph.
Yeah.
A good thing. Anyway, if you want to find out more about them, check out lilysparks.com, which is spelled L-I-L-Y, sparks.com.
Fantastic. Okay, sometime last year, an experiment was taking place in South Africa.
Ooh, it's a bit flash-forwardy.
Yeah, that experiment basically saw all the pigeons fall out of the sky at the same moment. No. What the experiment was, they were testing their internet service. What they did is they wrote 4 gigabytes to a USB stick, and simultaneously they sent that USB stick via carrier pigeon on a 96-kilometer journey. At exactly the same time, they started the transfer of that exact 4-gig file to the same destination over their internet connection.
Mm-hmm.
Which do you think got there first?
Well, I already know because you told me.
What?
The pigeon.
The pigeon. By how much do you think? Without looking at my screen. Basically, by the time the pigeon arrived, 4% of the file had actually been sent. Now, the purpose of that...
You can't really send 4% of a pigeon, can you? This mental image of...
Now, the purpose of that was to highlight how poor broadband internet is in South Africa. Now, today... No, yesterday...
Here you're as bad as Amy with... Last week I did such and such.
Do you know what I did tomorrow? Okay.
No, I did this year, week, next week, whatever.
So, yeah, yesterday, somebody carried out the same experiment here in the UK. And it was started from a farm in Yorkshire. And the destination was Skegness, 120 miles, kilometres away, it says here, about 80-something miles away. The file was a 300 megabyte file, copied to a USB stick, and 10 pigeons were sent off at the same time. All 10 pigeons got to the Skegness before 24% of that 300 megabyte file had been transferred. Okay, now this was done to highlight how bad rural broadband is in the UK. Now, according to government plans, They are committed to delivering a minimum of 2 megabits a second to every home by 2015. That's 5 years away. I'm not being funny. Everybody should have at least 2 megabits now. What do we have? 50. What do we get? 50. Now, I know cable is a special case anyway because of their network and infrastructure. But even with BT, most places can get between 2 and 8. Now, I appreciate that out in the sticks, because of the pure distance between the exchanges and the endpoints, it's very difficult to be able to achieve transfer speeds of 2 megabits a second. Now, even with standard broadband, upload speeds usually are somewhere between 256 and 512 kilobits a second. But even at that speed, that file should have got to Skegness before the pigeons did. So that really does indicate how poor it actually is. But I thought it was really quite interesting to test the pigeon versus UK broadband in exactly the same way as they did in South Africa last year, and the result being, well, actually worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Apologies to all South Africans listening. Also in the news, they're going to be making a film about Queen.
Not Hello, Mom.
Not Hello, Mom. We are not amused. About Queen. Yes, exactly them. Do you know? Well, you do know because it's staring you in the face at the moment. Who are they have billed to play Freddie Mercury?
Yeah.
Now, Sacha Baron Cohen.
Ali G.
I. Or Borat. Or Bruno.
Bruno.
I've not seen it. I don't want
Mr.
to see
Mancini,
it.
Mr. Mancini, man.
That's Bruno. Yes. Yeah, apparently, they chose him. Queen chose him, and they've been talking to him for quite some time about it.
I have to say, though, he often does controversial, really rubbish things, but he does actually have quite a good acting range.
Well, this is the thing.
I think he could do serious if he needed to.
If the standard formula, or the established formula, of comedy actors performing straight roles remains true, then this is going to be an amazing performance. Because if you look at some of your classic actors, like your comedy actors, like Robbie Coltrane, he is first and foremost a comedian, but you saw him in Cracker.
Yep.
And
there's Hagrid.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, that was more of a fun role, yeah, rather than a serious role.
Go back to that picture, though.
Mm. The likeness is there.
He already has the likeness. In fact, Sacha Baron Cohen not only could do Freddie Mercury, he could do George Michael, looking at that picture.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they do actually come up with some kind of George Michael biopic in the not-too-distant future anyway.
What, his decline and fall and
Imprisonment
and all that sort
apparently
of thing.
His bail request was abandoned to try and get him out early. An 8-week prison sentence. 8 weeks for driving under the influence of cannabis.
Anybody else? My guess is it's something that he's probably been caught for before,
because
he's sort of done quite a lot of silly things. And
well, exactly. He's stupid.
Oh, James Corretier wonders who's going to be Brian May.
That's a very good question. Some with a bad wig. James May.
Yes. Anybody who doesn't watch Top Gear, James May is a Cher as well.
Cher.
Probably do the voice. James May. He would be perfect for it.
Oh, what's the name of the bass player out of Dire Straits? He looks very, very similar to Brian May. I can't remember his name now.
But then again, maybe Brian May would want to do Brian May.
No, apparently they're staying well out of it, both of them. Roger Taylor will oversee the musical side of things, but other than that, they're not going to go anywhere near the actual film itself.
What about Paul McCann? Is it Paul McCann? The one that did Doctor Who?
That'd be McGann.
McGann.
Is it Paul or Bob or Jeremy or whichever McCann brother it actually was?
It'd be John Barrowman with the funny wig. Nah.
I don't know. I'm just looking up to see if I can find out who the... John Ilsley, that's it. He's got a bit of a wig. Anyway, shall we do our comedy song?
Yes. Well, as Dave said, it's time for the comedy song. From Michigan in the US, via The Fump, and sourced from Mevio's Music Alley, this is Tom Smith with Old Fump Guy, which is a parody of a famous recent ad campaign.
Probably in America.
Yes. Did you play a track of this? Because
I played a bit of this to you about 4 weeks ago.
That's why it sounded familiar. Yeah. I couldn't picture the advert, but I could picture the tune, and I think that's because you played me
a
snippet.
Why, yeah.
If you'd like to find out more, you can check out Tom Smith at tomsmithonline.com, who is actually a very big advocate of podcasting, I have to say.
Definitely.
And also, you can go to The Fump at www.thefump.com.
Hello, ladies. Listen to your man. Now listen to me. Does your man sound like me? No. But if he listened to thefump.com, he could sing along with me. Maybe convince himself he sounds like me. But we both know the truth. The truth is, I can stop the Gulf oil spill with 1 week's shavings of my manly stubble. Of course, to get it up, I'll have to shave everywhere. Now look at your man. Now back to me. Would he shave himself everywhere to save those oil-drenched pelicans, burning sea turtles, and all those baby ducks? If he listened to thefump.com, he might find the confidence, poise, and testicular fortitude to construct a double-edged, triple-bladed razor with his own two hands and depilate himself head to toe while juggling that razor, a lid sparkler, and a live chipmunk, thus saving the Gulf of Mexico from an unprecedented ecological disaster. Because that's the kind of man he could be if he sounded like me. Now listen to him. Now listen to me. Now back to him. Now back to me. What's that in my hand? It's a microphone. Now the microphone is a perfectly chilled flute of Fallet d'Art champagne. For you, my dear. Alyssa Milano tweets, I will never forget that night in Cancun. Tropical breezes, pina coladas, and me in your arms. So why did you stiff me with the hotel bill? Alyssa, I have never ducked out on a bill before. I was on my way to the Cancun branch of Gringotts to retrieve some gold with which to pay our bill, when I suddenly remembered Gringotts was a fictional bank run by goblins in the Harry Potter books, and since neither of us has appeared in any of the Harry Potter films, I didn't want to tick them off. However, I just remembered that I can turn this bottle of champagne into gold coins. Next time we run into each other, Alyssa, the champagne's on me. Although a little just might end up on you, if you ask nicely. Now listen to your man. Now listen to me. Now back to him. Now back to me. What's that in my pocket? It's the One Ring of Power. Now it's a chakram from Xena. Me one, jocks are zero. Michelle from Washington, D.C. tweets, I love my man, and his voice is almost as good as yours. But he still listens to the wrong people and can't stop playing around in foreign countries. Can you knock some sense into him? For you, my dearest Michelle, anything. Barry, listen up. I understand you're a humble kind of guy, but I think that you and I can single-handedly stop the strife overseas, get rid of the greedy opportunists on Wall Street, and shut down the Tea Party all in one stroke. I will come to Washington, Barry, and you and I will take off our shirts and parade around on two sparkling white palominos, passing out pink lemonade and raisinettes for all. Those who ignore our rapturous perfection and joyous lust for life are too busy with their own selfishness, fear, anger, and greed to care about the finer things. They do not deserve pink lemonade and raisinettes. We will repeat this on the streets of New York, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, North Korea, and Sicily, Alaska, meaning the good people of this world and depriving the bad of their strangely colored sweets. Any raisinettes left over are for you, Michelle. Now listen to him. Now listen to me. Now back to him. Now back to me. What's that in my wallet? It's two gift certificates for that restaurant you love that you can never get reservations for. I'll pick you up at 7 in a horse-drawn carriage. Alyssa Milano tweets, what's up with that hussy Michelle? Not to mention the equestrian fetish. Alyssa, our long-term committed relationship, our love-filled trust explosion, cannot be sundered or even weakened by any one woman, even one so tall and fine as the First Lady of these United States. Pay her no mind. We're just very close friends. so are the horses. Now listen to your man, now listen to me, now back to him, now back to me. What's that in my garage? It's the Ferrari that changes into a Rolls Royce in Disney's The Sorcerer's Apprentice. We borrowed it from Nicolas Cage to make this track. Now it's the Batmobile, the cool one from the 60s TV show, not the big tank thing from the last two movies, although they too are very cool. Much as your man could be very cool, if he sounded like me. I'm on the thump.
This podcast brought to you in part by Liberated Syndication, podcasting made easy. For more information about Liberated Syndication, visit libsyn.com. That's LIBSYN.com.
Thank you.
Right, well, sorry. I'm not crying because of the song.
You're right.
Yeah, sorry, am I? I think I yawned at... Ignore me.
Okay.
Either that or I've got a kid lurgy. From Tintagel. I'm going to make you do the place names now because I can't do them. that was James Corretier with To Feel Your Embrace, which was sourced from the Confidence EP. James is no stranger to the show or the chat room, of which he's in there at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
He is an overqualified classically trained musician who didn't turn to acoustic guitar until his last year of uni. Self-taught, he plays a Taylor Big Baby acoustic guitar as his main instrument. To find out more, check out jamescorretier.bandcamp.com or jamescorretier.co.uk.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Wonderful stuff. Thank you for that, James, and allowing us to play that on the show. Right, we're going to whizzy, because we're about to run out of time. And, ooh, don't do that.
Ooh, just to say that there is a video that goes along that track at youtube.com/jamescorretier.
Oh, fantastic. I haven't seen
and
that.
He's also performing in a live streaming festival to raise money for the MS Society, which is Multiple Sclerosis, not Microsoft, at caffeynoodle.ning.com this weekend.
Yes. He did actually mention that earlier on, and I meant to say it, and I do apologise, but thank you for picking that up anyway. Right, we have had some feedback. Two items of feedback. Woo-hoo. One from Darren, who made a comment on the website. That's Darren in the chat room. New dad Darren. Commented on episode 126, saying, good show, very funny. It was good to hear mention of mine and Nicole's new addition to the family. Keep up the good work.
So what's rather nice.
We've had an email from somebody called Steve. Now, I have confirmed it's not the Steve that's in the chat room at the moment. Title of the email says, thanks for the podcasts. Dave and Caroline, thanks for the podcast. Keep up the good work. I listen on the train. I came across a new artist from a tweet recommending an artist called Moto Boy. This one track is really beautiful. I think it will be good for the show. Have a listen. I'd love to hear it on the show. Well, I've downloaded it and we will be including it in next week's playlist. Steve continues, one piece of feedback which I hope does not offend. Whilst I like your relaxed presentation style and the interaction with the IRC, sometimes I'm thinking, okay, what's the next track? Where's the music? Slightly less chat and more music would be great. Thanks, Steve. Steve, thank you very much indeed for that. I very much appreciate, I think we both very much appreciate your open and honestness in this respect. And it is something that I think it's probably about time we throw back out to the listener base.
Because last time, everyone said no, keep it as it is.
Some people said no, some people said yes. What I'm thinking of doing, I don't want to increase the length of the show. I think the show is about right at 1 hour. What I would like to consider doing is bringing the show up to 8 tracks. Okay? And rather than having 3 talky bits, have 1 long talky bit in the middle. Have a think. Let us know what you think. Usual ways to get in contact... feedback@thebugcast.org or thebugcast.org/contact.
Did you not also consider staying as is and then say once a month doing a more musical focused one? That was something we considered at one point, wasn't it?
Yeah, in the same way as we also considered doing a chat only podcast, which never actually happened, but is still in the pipeline.
James asked, was it less chatty when you were doing it on your own?
When I first started, it was 3 tracks and about 25 minutes. So, no, it was about the same as it is now. Although sometimes it was 3 tracks and three quarters of an hour, depending on what I had to talk about. When the show first started, it wasn't about the music for me. It was more about the show. It was about the podcasting. It was about reaching out to the people. But it wasn't until about show 24 when I... applied to join the Association of Music Podcasting, that I kind of picked up from the other members of the association how important the music was for them. I started looking at the music in a different way, and it was around about that time I increased the music to 5 tracks, and then about 6 months later increased it to 6. So from my point of view, it is as much about the music as it is not. Now, there are some guidelines within the association that refer to new memberships of how much music should be included. Now, because our format and layout was already established, it doesn't apply to us, but we do fall short. For example, we have played 9, 12, 22, about 23 minutes of music in this show today. 23? Hang on, 6, 9, 9, yeah, 23 minutes of music. But the guidelines are that 2/3 of your show should be about music, of which 2/3 should be music. Now, 2/3 of... let me think about this for a minute. 2/3 of 2/3 is about 26 minutes of music, but we're not doing the additional 30 minutes of chat about the music.
We do all... Well, you're discounting the intros and out...
They don't count.
It's about the music.
No, that doesn't count.
Should we have this off air? Because
yeah, we'll have a chat about this afterwards. Have a think about.
Because one thing to do is if we went on to 8 tracks, rather than us having set things to talk about, we shouldn't have set things. We should have ideas, but just see what flows naturally, rather than having pre-planned.
Well, the reason we let's talk about this afterwards. What I'll do is once we've done this, we'll have a conversation, I'll record it, and I'll post it as a separate podcast entry. All right. So anyway, apologies to those listening on the Ozone, who will probably be cut off in about a minute. But anyway, if you want to get in contact with the show, as I said, feedback@thebugcast.org for the email, thebugcast.org/contact for all other information about how to get in contact. You can also have a look at the website itself at thebugcast.org for more information about this show and the artists that have been played on this and all previous shows. And you can also leave comments at the bottom of the show pages. So thank you very much indeed to everybody for listening. Thank you to everybody who remained in the chat room. We've gone up in numbers, I noticed. Thank you, as always, to Caroline for being there and being an important part of this. I don't think I have actually said that next week's show, 128, 24th September, 9 p.m, as always.
Yes.
Okay, so to play us out, we have a request.
Oh, right, because you always say source direct from artists, but you don't indicate whether we got it directly from them or they submitted it to us.
They sent it to us.
So, lesson from the future, be more specific.
Sorry. But it was actually Ian Vetinari from the chat room last week that said, oh, we need more of this artist.
Yes.
So we have.
Well, as we said, it's sourced directly from the artist. They're from New York, and it's Cue Ball with John Hughes. No stranger to the show, we've played them before. This track is from their album Fortune Favours the Bold. Cue Ball, in defiance of the corporate prepackaged American Idol era, started its own label in late 2005 called Bald Freak Music to release not only his own music, but music from other artists who would otherwise be ignored because they didn't fit the major label mold or the preconception of what a pop band or a rock artist should look like or sound like even. His partner in crime is Bumblefoot, who is best known as Guns N' Roses' new guitarist. If you want to find out more, check out cueballmusic.com.
And we will catch you next week.
Bye.
See ya.
said you didn't love me anymore. But doesn't love always mean love always? Something deep inside you isn't sure. Would you sooner fight for us than run away? And I could never learn to love you in the dark. You'd feel better if you kept me.
Thank you and God bless.